Have you ever used your phone and taken a selfie? You know what a selfie is, right? I'm going to take one, okay? Maybe. So if you take a selfie, you do a picture like this. So I'm going to take a picture of you off, but I'm also taking a picture of myself. Ready? That was a selfie. Now, if I turn it around, I'll take a picture of all of you, and you, and you. You look so good! Selfies. When you take a selfie, yourself is always in the foreground. It dominates the picture. Your focus is on yourself. In fact, some people have taken selfies at like the Grand Canyon or somewhere, and they have gotten so focused on themselves, they fall off into the canyon. Not a good thing. Self-centeredness can be dangerous. That's what Jesus is saying here in the scripture that you just read. Self-centeredness can be deadly. So I want us to look at this passage of scripture. Jesus is trying to get us to take the focus off of ourselves and place it on God and other people. When I took a selfie, most of what was in that picture was me, and that's not very pretty. I don't need to be in a picture. But when I took a picture of you, all of you were in the picture. My focus was on you, not me. Jesus is saying to us, as you live your life, as you live your faith, place your focus not on yourself, but on the needs of others and on the Lord God. That is the way that you will experience meaning and joy in your life. In our gospel text today, in Luke 12, you can look at your bulletin or your Bible, and you will see that Jesus was with a crowd of people. He was teaching them many things. And look at verse 13 of Luke chapter 12. Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Now, in the first century, if there were two sons in the family, the firstborn son was given twice the amount of money that the nextborn son would receive, but they all were supposed to get something in the inheritance. Jesus was called upon by this person in the crowd to settle a family argument, and I think Jesus was kind of saying, I don't really want to be involved in that. Have you ever heard of families becoming divided over money? Most of us have, haven't we? And isn't that sad? It's sad. And Jesus is saying there in verse 14, who appointed me to be your judge or your arbiter? Why are you asking me to settle this argument in your family? But Jesus then used that question from this man to teach a very important story, a very important truth through a parable about a rich man. In the parable that Jesus taught, there was this man who was living as if life was a selfie, as if that it was all about him. And Jesus is saying that a person who only lives for himself is a fool. That's what he is called there in this parable. A fool. Someone who has made terrible choices about what is important in life. So there's a lot for us to learn from this passage of Scripture today. It is a passage of Scripture that calls for us to answer the question, who is a fool? The person in the parable is called a fool. But what is the meaning for us today? Well, let's look at this together. First of all, this passage of Scripture is saying that people are fools when they live as if there is nothing more than money. Jesus knew that this man was very concerned about family inheritance. He was focused on money. And Jesus warned that person and us in verse 15 with these words. Then he said to them, "Watch out." That's what my scripture says. Watch out. Exclamation point. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions. Now, Jesus is not saying that money is evil. Money is not evil. It can be good. It can serve many good purposes in your own life, in your family, in the church, and in the world. Money is not evil. It can be a blessing or a curse, depending on whether you use your money as a means or an end. As a means or an end. If you use your money as a means to help other people and meet your family's needs and serve God, wonderful. But if the end, if your purpose with your money is simply to collect more and more and live life selfishly, then it is a curse. It is wrong. Jesus knew how important money can be to people. The Bible focuses on money quite a bit. In the first three Gospels, one out of every six verses deals with the use or the abuse of money. 16 of the 34 parables that Jesus told deal specifically and directly with money. There are over 500 verses in Scripture that deal with prayer, but there are over 2,500 verses in the Bible that deal with money. God is saying to us, money can be good, but it can also be a source of temptation and selfish living. And there is a warning in Scripture about that. We live in a very secular culture. We focus a lot on income and money and things. Millard Fuller, the founder of Habitat for Humanity, a ministry that builds homes for poor people, said that while he was working with a Habitat house building project in Nebraska, his host drove him past a new $6.5 million home. And this enormous home was surrounded by a high fence. And Millard was told by his host that this house has to have buzzers in every room so that people can find each other because the house is so large. Futurist Faith Popcorn tells us that a new phrase has been coined in recent years for opulent homes like this business tycoon's home. They're called starter castles. Starter castles. It's as if you build a castle. If it's not large enough, you build a larger one somewhere else. And the building of these starter castles points to a glaring issue in our nation: the disparity between those who have and those who have not. We have to be careful about what we do with our money, because money can do some bad things to us, can't it? In Jesus' parable, there is this rich man planning on building more and more barns to store more and more stuff. His ground is fertile. The crops are producing an abundant harvest. His barns are not large enough, so he thinks, well, I don't have anything that I can do except just build larger barns. Now, it's easy for us to point our finger at that man and say how foolish, but how many of us struggle with our stuff? Do you have too much stuff? Do you ever wish you had more closets or larger closets? Freddie and I are downsizing. We're selling our house, and moving to a smaller house, and so we're having to go through our things right now. Have you ever done that when you've moved? Have you ever been surprised how much stuff you have? How quickly it accumulates? We've gone through lots of things at our house, and we're throwing away a lot that at one time it probably seemed important or precious to us, but now it's just stuff. We don't have enough room for it all. You know, when there is a financial downturn in the national economy, there is one industry that always does pretty well even in a down economy. You know what it is? It's the mini storage units. It's those storage places. They're everywhere. Have you seen the new one they're building out by the interstate at Roan Street? Like four stories of storage units because people need a place to put all their stuff. We always, I think, have to ask ourselves, when is enough enough? When is enough enough? The foolish man in Jesus' parable didn't ask that question. He just thought, wow, I'm just going to keep on building bigger barns and getting more and more stuff, and I'll be good for a long time. That's not how the story ends, is it? So, the first lesson from this scripture is that people are fools when they live as if there's nothing more than money. Secondly, people are fools when they live as if there is nothing more than themselves. Nothing more than themselves. Look at verses 16 through 19 of Luke chapter 12. And as you look at those verses, you will see the story, the parable about this rich man. He had an abundant harvest. He thought, what shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. Here's what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns, build bigger ones. I'll store my surplus grain. I'll say to myself, you have lots of grain laid up. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry. Do you notice how many selfish personal pronouns are in those verses? Notice what he says. Notice how many pronouns. This is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns. I will store my surplus grain. I'll say to myself, you have plenty of grain. Take life easy. My, my, my. And so the parable is showing the foolishness of a person who lives as if there is nothing more than themselves. You know, a person who gets all caught up in themselves is a very narrow-minded, self-centered, uncaring kind of person. Dr. Carl Menninger, a world-renowned psychologist, was talking one time to an unhappy but very wealthy counselee. He asked the man what he was going to do with all of his money. And the man replied, I guess I'll just worry about it. And Dr. Menninger asked, well, do you get that much pleasure from worrying about your money? No, the man said, but I get terrified when I think of giving it to someone else. And then Dr. Menninger went on to say something quite profound. He observed, generous people are rarely mentally ill. Generous people are rarely mentally ill. In other words, there is joy, and there is peace, and there is meaning in using what God has given you to help someone else, to give back to God, the tithe every Sunday, to give to other people out of what you have received that they might be blessed. Your greatest joy and meaning in life is what you can do for other people. Amen? And it's very important for us to remember that. Give the Lord your love, your gratitude, and your commitment, and give yourself to other people. Have any of you been on a mission trip? Every year, this church, Central, sponsors mission trips, and I hope that if you haven't been on a mission trip, that you'll go. It doesn't have to be to Guatemala, though there is a trip to Guatemala every year from here. It could be that you could just go next door and give something to your neighbor. It could be that you could identify a needy family in the community and give something to that family that they really need.
Mission opportunities are all around us, not just in Guatemala. And it's important for us to find them. We will find them, we will find those opportunities if we want to. If we want to live life with a focus, not on ourselves, but on the Lord and on people in need all around us. People are fools when they live as if there's nothing more than money, and when they live as if there's nothing more than themselves. Thirdly, people are fools when they live as if there is nothing more than today. Would you look at verse 20 in our scripture? God said to him, this rich man, God said to him, "This very night, your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself?" Do you see the contrast between verses 19 and 20? In verse 19, the rich man said, "I'll just take life easy and eat, drink, and be merry, and just keep on living." And the next verse says, "No, you won't. Life is brief. And for you, it's very brief. This very night, your life will be demanded from you." The fool in Jesus' parable thought he had all the time in the world to build more and more barns, and he was dead wrong. No one has all the time in the world, right? Life is brief, and we must use our moments that we have to focus on what is most important, not ourselves, but the needs of other people around us and the will of God for your life. God's word is teaching us a lesson that we sometimes forget. And the lesson is the temporary possession of our possessions. The temporary possession of our possessions. We might think we're going to have our stuff a long, long time, but we won't. Life is kind of short, and the needs of people are great, and God has a purpose for each of us, and we need to use our money and our talent and our time for the Lord God. In 1920, a man gave $100,000 to build a college in Liberia, West Africa. By the 1940s, the college had grown. Thousands of young Africans had been educated there. On an anniversary of the college's founding, the administration decided it was time to say thank you to the man who had given so much of his finances to help start the college. They had difficulty finding him. Finally, they located him in Chicago on the south side. He was in a very small house. This was in the 1940s, but he had gone through the collapse in 1929, the financial collapse, the crash in the United States, and had lost almost everything. Twice he refused to see representatives from the college, but he finally agreed to receive them, and at their insistence, he was flown to Africa for a celebration. As he looked over the campus, filled with hundreds of students, he whispered to the college president, "The only thing I have kept is what I have given away. The only thing I have kept is what I have given away." Only what we give away is ours forever. Money is not bad. It's important. But money must always be a means and not an end in our life. So Jesus concludes this scripture with verse 21. "This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves but is not rich toward God." So Jesus is saying to you and to me, we have a choice as to how we're going to live our lives each day. Will we live it selfishly, or will we live it in a way that brings honor to the Lord and brings help to people around us? Our Lord would be pleased if we would learn from this scripture to be giving people, to be rich toward God. So this morning, it seems to me we need to make a decision about how we're going to view our money and our things. Are we going to just collect and store our stuff? Or are we going to use what God has given us to be a blessing to other people? Our Lord is saying he really wants us to be compassionate, giving Christians. May God bless you, and may he guide you, and may you respond to his guidance as you live each day, honoring him and blessing others. God bless you. Let's pray. Thank you, O God, for speaking into our lives today, reminding us that it is so tempting to live selfishly. And yet, Lord, your will for us is that we give ourselves to you and to others, that they might come to know you, that they might come to know the real purpose in life. Forgive us, Lord, when we have lived as if life was about us. Help us, Lord, to see your example of giving yourself at the cross for us. And help us, Lord, to conclude that that is your will for us. You gave your all for us. May we give ourselves for you and for the needs of others all around us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.